Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Back in the 19th century, a British politician once wrote, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." You see, power is a limited commodity, and since it's limited, the only way to have power and to keep power is by taking it from someone else. You have to disempower others so that you might have power. Authority, on the other hand, is an unlimited commodity. Whereas power is taken, authority is given. You can never exercise authority unless you have been given by someone with authority to exercise your authority. And for those who humble themselves and rightly exercise the authority given them, they find they never need power. In our gospel text this morning, the chief priests and the elders had authority. They had the authority over the Jewish people to enforce and interpret God's law as given by the prophets. Everything that pertained to their everyday life, through the church, they had authority. But they desired power. Their desire blinded them to the truth of the gospel. They were blinded to the truth that God had revealed in the law and all the writings of the prophets. They had rejected John the Baptist and his message, pointing to the coming of the Christ, calling on all mankind to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They had no use for John's way of righteousness. They were convinced that they were already righteous. They had no need for heaven. They didn't need repentance or the kingdom of God. So when they heard Jesus' teachings and witnessed his miracles, they naturally did not believe. And with the crowds leaving them to go follow Jesus, they sought to have Jesus arrested because they saw him as taking their power. It was an attempt to protect their own power and position among the Jews. Our text this morning takes place the Monday following Palm Sunday. It is Holy Week, just 4 days before Christ will be crucified on the cross. The day before, he enters into Jerusalem. He enters into Jerusalem to shouts, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." After the grand procession, Jesus went into the temple, and he saw what was going on in his father's house. The money changers and those selling animals for sacrifice, he poured out their coins, and he drove them all out of the temple, flipping over their tables. And even in the midst of all that commotion, the blind and the lame came to Jesus, and he healed them. The next day, when he entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" It's a trap. The temple authorities had been looking for that moment when they could arrest Jesus, and they think they have him backed into a corner. So they pose the question, by whose authority are you working? If Jesus says that he's doing things by human authority, the chief priests can arrest him because he's rebelling against the established authority over the temple. But if he claims he's doing it by divine authority, well, then he's blaspheming God. Either way, they have him in the corner. But they asked the wrong question. They had already witnessed Jesus' proof. his words, his teaching, his miracles for 3 years throughout his ministry. They had witnessed his authority. And if they didn't believe his word and teachings, they could look at the miracles and it would be proven by them. Not just anyone goes out and heals the sick and the lame, the blind, casts out demons, raising men from the dead. These are not your everyday good works. These are works of God, whom God alone can perform and whom alone can be formed by the person that God has given authority. So Jesus asks them a question of his own. They ask two questions. Jesus only asks one. The baptism of John, from where did it come? John's teaching and his doctrine on baptism and everything else. Where did that come from? They thought they had Jesus cornered, and now they find it is they who are stuck in the corner. There's no safe way for them to answer the question, and they knew it. If they admit that John's teaching and baptism was from heaven, well, Jesus is going to say, well, why in the world don't you believe? But if they say that John's baptism is from man, it's going to anger the crowds because the crowds believe John is a prophet. One sin always leads to another and on to another. They had sinned by trying to back Jesus into a corner, and now all they could do was lie. And they said, "We do not know." Earlier I said, those who humble themselves and rightly exercise the authority given them will never need power. But the chief priests and the elders were not humble men. No, they were proud and they were arrogant, power hungry. Jesus was a threat to their status. Therefore, they refused to acknowledge Jesus as God's given authority, because it would push them out of their position and force them to humble themselves before the Son of God. They'd lose power, control. And this is where you and I can relate. The sinful nature doesn't like being humbled, humbling itself to anyone else's authority. You love being in control. And when your control is threatened, you want to fight back. To the young kids this morning, if they were old enough to listen, we got a few young kids. They despise mom and dad. They despise their father and mother when they exercise their authority over them, telling them to do their chores rather than let him play or watch TV. Wives, do you not despise submitting to your husbands? And husbands, do not you despise, do you not despise loving your wives as Christ loved the church, laying his very life down for her? The sinful nature dislikes humbleness. The sinful nature does not want to bow down, humble, and serve others. But it doesn't end there. As good members or members in good standing of the Christian church, we like to get all puffed up and say, yeah, I'm Christian. I'll defend Jesus to the end. But what happens when you are asked the questions over the authority of God in this wicked and crooked generation that claims that everyone is entitled to their own truth? You say you believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, but what about when you're asked about women's ordination, transgender surgery, same-sex marriage, or sex outside of wedlock, abortion, or even receiving the Lord's Supper in front of an altar of a different confession. Do you say, well, I don't know? Or do you nod your head and just agree with these sins that God has laid out in His Scripture? Or do you humbly speak the truth in love, explaining that God's Word says that these things are contrary to Scripture? Many people are quick to say, well, who am I to judge? But you're not judging, you're merely saying what God has already said. God alone is judge. His word has already spoken. His inspired, inerrant, authoritative word. It always gives the final answer. But you say, Pastor, they're going to call me a bigot. They're going to call me intolerant and non-inclusive. Well, you know, that's okay, because you're in good company. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. John the Baptist came preparing the way for the Lord to make his paths straight, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is not some mean ogre setting up in heaven, waiting on you to mess up so he can squish you like a bug. No, as we heard in our Old Testament text, God takes no pleasure in the death of anyone. So turn and live. Repent. For God the Father desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's Jesus' authority. Before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Go to all nations, baptizing. It was in baptism that you were marked with the sign of the cross and given God's name. He made you a new creation. Because of Jesus' work of salvation, living a perfect life on your behalf, and taking all of God's wrath in your stead, he reconciled you with the Father. For the sake of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. By the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ's authority, now you are free to speak the truth of God's word in love to your neighbors, speaking all that Christ has commanded to your neighbor and to each other. You're free to shine as lights to all people around the world in this crooked and twisted generation. By his authority, Christ has given his church his word and sacraments, delivering forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And it's by his authority that he has given the church to call pastors, given the church the authority, and they hand the authority to the pastor to be his mouthpiece and his under-shepherd. Jesus says, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. By Christ's authority, he has given you, pastors, to forgive the sins of the repentant and to withhold forgiveness for those who are unrepentant. He has given to the office of the holy ministry the authority to administer his body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life. Jesus has all authority. He bids you to humble yourself. The Lord lifts up the humble. He bids you to humble yourself and hold fast to his word and life. As we just sang in our sermon hymn, let us pray. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your Son and bring to naught all he has done. Lord Jesus Christ, your power make known, for you are Lord and Lords alone. Defend your holy church that we may sing your praise eternally. O Comforter of priceless worth, send peace and unity on earth. Support us in our final strife and lead us out of death to life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.